Intro, January 31st, 1990. Memorial worship for Dr. Ben Philbeck.
Amen.
We are reading scripture from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 65, beginning with verse 17 and reading through the end of the chapter. Hear now the reading of Holy Scripture. See, I am creating new heavens and a new earth. The past will no more be remembered, nor will it ever come to mind. Rejoice and be forever filled with delight at what I create, for I am creating Jerusalem as a delight and her people as a joy. I shall take delight in Jerusalem and rejoice in my people. The sound of weeping, the cry of distress will be heard in her no more. No child there will ever again die in infancy. No old man shall fail to live out his span of life. He who dies at 100 is just a youth, and if he does not attain 100, he is thought accursed. My people will build houses and live in them, plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They will not build for others to live in or plant for others to eat. They will be as long-lived as a tree, and my chosen ones will enjoy the fruit of their labor. They will not toil to no purpose or raise children for misfortune, because they and their issue after them are a race blessed by the Lord. Even before they call to me, I shall answer, and while they are still speaking, I shall respond. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. And as for the serpent, its food will be dust. Neither hurt nor harm will be done in all my holy mountain, says the Lord.
In you, O Lord, have I taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness.
Incline your ear to me. Make haste to deliver me.
Be my strong rock, a castle to keep me safe. For you are my crag, my stronghold. For the sake of your name, lead me and guide me. Into your hands I commend my spirit, for you have redeemed me, O Lord, O God of truth.
I hate those who claim to worthless idols, and I put my trust in the Lord.
I will rejoice and be glad because of your mercy, for you have seen my affliction, you know my distress. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me.
Make your face shine upon your servant.
Our New Testament lesson is taken from 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 23. Now, if Christ is preached as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all men most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by one came death, by one has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his or her own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ.
It is appropriate that we entitle this service Memorial Worship because we intend that it be both. Professor Ben Philbeck has already been honored by most of this community on the day of his funeral. It seemed fitting, however, to many of us that we also have a special occasion such as this here in the chapel for the seminary family. Our special memorial passage is Joshua 4, verses 1 to 7. You will all recall the passage. The Hebrews had finally reached the land of Canaan. They had just crossed over the Jordan. These were the survivors. Their forefathers had suffered the humiliating slavery in Egypt. Their more recent forebears had known God's marvelous deliverance. The wilderness, however, had been too much for many of them, even most of them. Like us, they could not decide whether they were fugitives, vagrants, or pilgrims. Most of them perished as fugitives. A smaller group, however, crossed the Jordan belatedly under Joshua's leadership. Joshua was not only a military leader, but something of a statesman. When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, 'Take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood, and carry them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight.'" Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, "Pass on before the ark of the Lord, your God, into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, 'What do those stones mean to you?' Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever." Joshua recognized the importance of history. He saw that we human beings are creatures not only of the present moment, but also we have both a history and a destiny. At the moment, they stood on a narrow riverbank facing an entrenched enemy in walled cities. Behind them lay the wilderness. Further back lay Egypt. Ahead of them lay both danger and destiny. Joshua had them erect a pile of stones for children in the future generations to ask questions about. What do these stones mean? Why were there 12 stones? Why these 12 stones? Where did the stones come from? Why did you put them here instead of on top of the hill? Where did the people come from? You mean the water of the Jordan really backed up? Where were the people going? Why didn't you just erect a plaque
You mean our forefathers were slaves? Questions like this. The TEV translation reads, these stones will always remind the people of what happened here. The memorials of the ancient world include mountainside inscriptions, the ziggurats, the pyramids, tombs, statues, and buildings of enormous proportions. Joshua had seen the great pyramids of Egypt, one of which stood almost 500 feet above the sand, had 2.5 million stones in it, carefully sized and laid to stand almost forever. In comparison, a small pile of 12 stones in a remote valley was almost nothing. The pyramid still stands, but where are those stones? And yet, whose lives meant the most? How many people know about Khufu? How many people know about Joshua? Our frail memorials serve their purposes, even though the powers of erosion appear to erase them. Those hardy souls who settled our great West lost their husbands or wives, children or parents along the way. They dug shallow graves and left stone or wooden markers, knowing that they would never return to the sites, but yet they were hoping. I've always felt a particular sympathy with those immigrants coming to this country who had to bury their loved ones at sea. They could leave no markers to return to and no markers for others to note in passing. Our memorials mark events of importance, our victories or our defeats, our achievements, a lesson learned, a fallen companion, and others. Joshua's memorial marked a river crossing, a victory partly achieved, a milepost, a beachhead, an object lesson for children, a kind of primitive school. The memorial was a simple marker, a reminder of what happened here. To some passers-by, it would be insignificant. To others, however, it would raise that question, what mean these stones? The small United States flag planted on the lunar surface would not appear almost as nothing to space travelers from some other Earth, for such travelers would intuitively recognize the enormous effort made by some strange creatures to plant it there. The memorial was intended to remind Israel of who she was and how she got there. Our memorial to Ben Philbeck is for our benefit, not his. He, in a way, is who we are. He was the product of a Baptist home, a Baptist church, a Baptist college and seminary. He spent his adult life as a teacher in a Baptist college and in Baptist seminaries, and as a preacher in Baptist churches, teaching and preaching mostly to Baptist people. That's who we are. In remembering him, we need to know that his struggles, his griefs, and his trials are ours also. He did rather well in dealing with his. May we do as well. 28 years ago today, January 31, 1962, Ben and Joe Philbeck buried an infant son on their church field in Indiana. When people of the community sought to comfort Ben and express their grief because of the tragedy, which they believed ought not to have happened to a person who had given his life to the Lord in ministry, Ben replied, One never gets God in his debt. We are not exceptions to human tragedy. In the summer of 1986, Ben returned early from an archaeological excavation in Israel. He had sensed that something was wrong, seriously wrong, but he had no idea yet that it was a brain tumor. During the illness, when persons sought to express ideas similar to those which had been expressed years earlier, Ben refused to question God. He replied, "Tragedies of this kind happen regularly to other people. It can happen to me also." To him, his illness was never a theological issue. Joshua saw the memorial for its instructional value. Children of later generations would see the stones and ask, "What do these stones mean?" Then the Hebrews would teach their children their tradition. Our memorial to Ben Philbeck is not nearly so noticeable as a pile of stones. We have no pile of stones, no name on a building or a street. We have his portrait hanging in Staley Hall. There are books dedicated to him in the library. There will be a marker in our funeral plot, and his name will forever be a part of the official documents of this school. But that's about it. This memorial, however, should instruct us, or remind us, Ben took his calling seriously. His study and his teaching were important and honest. He received criticism, but he did not suppress the truth in order to be popular. Last week, a pastor in Virginia, talking to me, spoke of how difficult his Hebrew courses with Philbeck were, but he added, "Dr. Philbeck was a good man, a very good man." He contributed more than merely the instruction in Hebrew. Students often express appreciation for their teachers or for some of their teachers. I recall the men and women who contributed so much to my life. You students who are here, memorialize Ben Philbeck, not only in your comments of appreciation, but when you teach others those insights into truth which you learned from your teacher, Professor Philbeck. We faculty members often recognize that we have received so much into our lives from the associations with our colleagues. I cannot begin to express my gratitude for the richness of life I have enjoyed from these colleagues, and Ben and I were colleagues in another seminary before we came here. There are times I'm afraid that my own pride becomes sinful when I tend to cover my own inadequacies by remembering some of the great persons by whose side I have walked as we taught theological students. We faculty members today memorialize Ben Philbeck as our colleague. Joshua knew that we need memorials for our benefit, for the instruction of our children, for our transmission of the tradition to others. He knew the need for those markers along the pilgrimage which objectify an achievement or an intermediate goal along the journey. That memorial not only marks the past, an achievement, but it becomes the departure point for the rest of the journey toward the ultimate goal. Some memorials become cultural or religious depositories for all generations, such as Jesus' Last Supper. Others are like the humble stone which marks the spot where a pioneer family buried a child, grieved, and moved on. As a seminary family, we have buried another member of our family in grief. And now we move on. It is appropriate that we celebrate this worship in memorial for our sakes, not Ben's. It reminds us of who we are and what our journey is, of our frailty and temporariness, and that we too must move on. It reminds us whence we came. It calls us to reckon with whither we go. And equally important, it reminds us with whom we journey.
There are many things that knit us together as community. We are here because we believe in Jesus as Lord and believe that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ.
We are knit together in the life of our brother and filled with it. We celebrate the influence he had and are grateful for the blessing he was to us.
We are grieved at his passing from this life, but celebrate the life he lived among us, and celebrate the life eternal he now possesses in Jesus Christ, our Lord. By his life, we have learned the true meaning of following one's call with integrity and humility, and we would do well to follow his leading as we seek to be the ministers that we have been called to be. God, the generations rise and pass away before you. You are the strength of those who labor. You are the rest of the blessed dead. We rejoice in the company of your saints. We remember all who have lived in faith, all who have peacefully died, and especially him most dear to us, who rests in you, our brother Ben Philbeck. Give us in time our portion with those who have trusted in you and have striven to do your holy will. To your name, with the church on earth and the church in heaven, we ascribe all honor and glory, now and forever.
God of all grace, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to bring life and immortality to light. We give you thanks because by his death, Jesus destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection has opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Make us certain that because he lives, we shall live.
Give to us peace in our souls and peace on earth.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Amen
and amen.